Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for just how you move among us. Lord, we always want to be what you're about. Lord, as I speak this in step with your Spirit message, I pray that every part of it will be in step with your Spirit. Nothing from flesh, only your Spirit, Lord. We're thankful for how you've moved among us already.
Amen.
Pray, Holy Spirit, even now that you will just settle on each one of us, right where we are.
Amen.
Whatever it is that we need, whatever it is that we're thinking about, whatever it is that's going on in the details of our lives, we pray for just the settling of your Holy Spirit on each mind and heart, and yes, even our physical bodies. That if there's pain, that you will ease it, you will take it away. Thank you. Just thank you for what you're doing. Let your name be lifted high because of it. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a work going on. Originated in the heavenlies, and he's bringing it to earth. And we're part of it. You're part of it.
Amen. Thank you.
You're part of carrying Jesus into this world. And these experiences we're having in worship are not just experiences for us to say, oh, that was a nice experience. He is pouring out his Spirit in us to equip us, because our word go and tell is an important word for the time we're living in. Because we're his people, and where his people are, a work is going on. And whether it's in this gathering, or whether it's in your neighborhood, or it's in your home, if it's in your workplace, if it's in the grocery store, so be it, because he's doing a work. And these times of worship are part of equipping us, part of his equipping us. And you don't have to be a singer to engage in these times of worship. There's lots of non-singers who worship, because worship isn't all about, yeah, Lindsay's one of them, she just said, although I think she can sing. But it's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about presenting ourselves before our Father, who is worthy of our praise because he died for us. And we have a message of hope to a world that is getting crazier and crazier by the second. And we can speak and live out a message of hope just by living and existing. When Bobby and Bethany went to Washington, D.C. last week, they spent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in D.C. worshiping Jesus, doing what they did today in D.C. And one of the things he said last week in his message before he left was that when we step foot in that, in the nation's capital, we step foot in the name and in the power and in the love and in the grace and in everything that Jesus has to offer. We bring that all with us.
Amen.
We bring that all with us. And guess what? So do you. So do you. Wherever, you don't have to go to D.C. to do that. You can do it in New Waterford. And Salem, and Boardman and Lisbon and Canfield and Latonia and East Palestine and wherever it is that you live, wherever it is that you work, I'm going to introduce the core passage for this message, and then I'm going to have a couple people share, and I'll explain how this message kind of evolved. But the core passage for this message is out of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, and he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." So keep that in mind as we get into this, because walking out your freedom in Jesus is important to acknowledge and recognize and do intentionally as we keep in step with the Spirit. It's connected. It's connected. Walking in the freedom that Jesus brought you, setting you free from the bindings of sin, is important in us acknowledging that he came to set us free. So stay in that freedom. Don't go back. Don't go back to bondage. You were called to be free. But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Boy, there's power right there in that little verse. Serve humbly, love. Serve humbly, love. Serve humbly, love. Boy, if you get nothing out of this message, those three words, walk in that, and you will keep in step with His Spirit. If you have a heart to serve, well, do it humbly, bow down, not calling attention. Oh, here, look what I'm doing. And then love. Love, love, love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Not to do whatever you want. There's lots of things my flesh sometimes wants to do, but the Spirit says, no, you're not that person anymore. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And I could spend the whole rest of this time just breaking these passages down, and I may refer to some of these things again. But what I want you to do, actually, as I was going over this morning, the Lord said, give them an assignment. Meditate on this section of Scripture this week. Spend some time meditating on it, and understanding, starting out with that passage, you were called to be free. You were called to be free. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And then he gives this clear contrast between works, between the flesh and the Spirit, and what comes out of each. What comes out of each. And my encouragement is, if you find yourself in some of these acts of the flesh that it says are obvious, if you find yourself in there, deal with it. Don't you know, it's not to condemn anybody. It's not for condemnation. It's to learn from and say, okay, I'm still struggling with this thing of the flesh. Okay, we're here to help with that. More than anything, Holy Spirit is here to help with that. And then if you look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, well, I'm not doing so well with that peace thing, or I'm not doing so well with that kindness part, or whichever one, deal with it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. We have a Savior who's right there to say, okay, I want to help you. I want to help you. All of that is really important for us to break down as we want to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. So the way this message came about is, I don't know, this has been going on for a while, but it just seems like it's increasing and increasing and increasing, where Holy Spirit is just in the course of just how we're functioning day by day, or within the course of a service, He's just moving among us in these just really kind of easy, smooth ways that stuff's just flowing. So last week when If you were here last week, when worship started, and Logan and the team led worship last week as well, and when it started, she did one song and then she stopped, and she shared. And I asked her this week to kind of send me a brief synopsis of what she shared, because it was really, really important. And here's what she said. She said that she's been reading this book called Awe of God, and in this book it refers to Aaron's two sons who entered into the temple, and in this book it talks about how they presented themselves into God's presence with irreverence and without acknowledging his presence, without paying attention to who they're coming into the presence of, and they entered it without permission. They did so, and it really struck her. She said that I don't know if this was in the book or just from her, but she said that giving our whole self into his presence was what was on her mind as she was picking out her set list for last week for worship. And that set list, it just brought this amazing, amazing time of worship that was full of repentance and full of just humility and brokenness and submission. And the Lord responds to that. He responded to that, just that humility. From the moment I start, I want to make sure I'm coming into your presence, acknowledging your goodness, and not with nothing irreverent, with nothing that belittles who you are. And the Lord responded to that, so there's a response he has when we come into this place of bowed downness, of submission and humility. And there will never be a time when that will not be part of the equation. He wants us to come into his presence boldly and with confidence. The scriptures tell us that, but it's never with some presumption that we're his equal, that we're somehow on even ground with him. He's always above us, and he's always worthy of our praise. And when we come with that sort of a brokenness and a reverence, he loves to respond to that by saying, "Here's more of me. Here's more equipping. Here's more of my love. Here's more of my power. Here's more of my grace. Here's more of my whatever it is that we are lacking." He has it for us to say, "Here's, take it." But he responds to that positioning of humility, that positioning of saying, "Lord, I don't ever want to come into your presence." We know we have permission now. We know we have permission. He tells us to come there. So we don't have to wait for permission to come into his presence. The Old Testament, it was a different story, but we have that freedom now. But he wants us to do that with a brokenness and a brokenness. I don't mean that I'm a broken man, because he fixed that. But it's with a humility. So that happened, and during that time of worship, this is why I like to talk about things that are happening among us, because sometimes we don't necessarily know can't put all the pieces together, can't all connect all the dots of what's happening among us. So he's wanting us to keep in step with his Spirit, because he's pouring it out for a reason. He's given us this go and tell word. He's giving people assignments. He's giving people go out into the world and talk about me. But if we ever try to do that in of our own flesh, that may produce something here, but it won't produce anything that lasts. But if we do it under the power of his Holy Spirit, it's going to produce something. It's going to produce a change. And so worship, worship was continuing. And so as worship was continuing, our brother Mike came down here. And Mike, I want you to come down now. He came down, and he actually did something that I've never seen Mike do. Now, I've known Mike a long time, and I've never seen him do this. That doesn't mean he's never done it before. I just have never seen it. But he was kind of dancing, and he was singing. And Mike has shared prophetic words with us before, but I've never seen him share like this before. And so I want you to just talk a little bit about what that experience was like. Because, again, we're keeping in step with the Spirit, and I saw him function in a way I've never seen him function before. And it wasn't just for Mike to use his gift. It was for us And we're going to hear in a little bit about something he may not even know about that happened as a result of it.
Yes. We were singing a song that had like about the blowing of the wind and flowing. And I just got these words, just these two words just came to me, just blowing and flowing. And I started to prophesy in the back there, but nobody could hear me. So I came up front.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that part.
So I came up here and God just kind of came on me and I just sensed to just sing. I just was singing and allow the Lord. I was just prophesying that God's going to flow. He's going to blow. The word of God is going to come forth. I'm just flowing. I'm blowing. Yep. I'm blowing through this place. Yes. The winds of the Spirit. Woo. Take up the wind. Take up the wings. Yes. Yes. And let the wind just take you. And I was just kind of doing this, and somebody in my prophetic group said that's like the movement that a reaper makes. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh man, okay, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that." But I just then it just came very intense. I got really intense, and I said, "Man, I better hold back here." I thought I was going to get raptured or something, but I said, the Spirit of God, it was just here, and the flowing and the blowing of the wind.
Amen. 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 That's awesome. Yeah. So it was right after that Bethany was on the part of the worship team last week. Come on down, Bethany. Began just singing a song that wasn't on the set list. It was a song that wasn't written. It was a song that was being written on the spot by the Holy Spirit. And from what I understand, after she did that, she wanted to go hide. Bethany's, if you don't know Bethany, her natural temperament is shy, but the Lord is breaking her out. Is breaking her out, and he's been doing this for a long time. That's not a new work. This part is a new work. But I'm not calling these people out without having kind of warned them. But this is part of what this message is about, in step with his Spirit. So tell us a little bit about that, because you knew that was something he was calling you to. Go ahead. I won't speak for you.
Well, I guess Logan's been very gracious with me, because a few times we've been up here, I was like, I have something. Like, I knew I had a song, but I just couldn't. When it came time to do it, I'm like, I can't do it. So that day when Mike started kind of singing and doing his thing, it was like it burst a little bubble or something.
Yes.
And I was fine. I could just sing it and get it out, and it wasn't a big deal.
Yes. So then when it happened today, tell us about even today. I mean, you ministered, obviously, in that again today. Tell us, because the Lord had shown you that you were going to be doing this.
This has been a year in process.
Wow.
Because May of 2023, Heart of David, that's the worship team that has people from all different churches and kind of travel around. Logan, Bobby, Tanner, Anastasia are on the worship team. But they had a gathering where it was just team members and their spouses could come over, and it was just a team time to worship together. So when we were worshiping and it was just someone's basement, I got called out and ministered to very intensely. So that day marked me. And luckily, like, Logan and Isaac were there, and Bobby, Terry, Anastasia. But that night, I found out, like, a lot of the songs they sang, even Harder David, I think people don't realize sometimes when they're just singing, it's not always a song that's written. Like, they're just getting downloads and singing what God gives them in the moment. So that night, like, one of the people sang, like, this most beautiful song. I was like, where did you get that? And she's like, that's just what God gave me in the moment. She was just going with the Spirit, just flowing. So the next day after they prayed for me, Let me back up. I love singing in the Spirit anyway, just in tongues, because you guys know you have your prayer language, speaking in the Spirit. You can also sing in the Spirit. So I'd always had that. Like, I just clean around the house and sing in the Spirit. Like, it's just fun. So the day after they prayed for me, when I'd sing in the Spirit, I could hear English in my head. So I was starting to get the translation, but I couldn't get it out. So then I started to ask God to let me get it out. So then slowly I got the word Yeshua, and I knew that was a breaking, like, okay, I'm getting something. And then next thing I knew, I got a phrase, just in English, and I was stuck on that phrase for a long time. It was like I was practicing, and God was clearing things out, and that phrase was specifically for me. Like, God was ministering to me in my quiet, and my house was just me. It was all just encouraging and exhorting me. And then something broke again, and then I was able to worship Him and minister to Him in English. So it's spontaneous worship, but flowing with the Spirit.
Stay here for 1 second, because I have one question. This wasn't planned. So when that happens, what does your flesh want to do versus what the Spirit? Because this is all about this contrast between flesh and Spirit. Because when the Spirit is asking you to do something that your flesh doesn't normally want to do, I mean, I don't know about you, but everything in my flesh sometimes wants to resist. Tell me a little bit about how you fight through that to be able to do what you're being asked to do.
I know a lot of you guys have your prayer language, your tongue language. Like, I know when we tell people, like, you have to practice to get fluent at it. Like, when you initially get it, you're not going to be able to just rattle off in your prayer language usually. Like, you kind of have to practice and be intentional about using it. So this is kind of the same thing. Like, you have to be intentional about being God's presence and seeking His face and chasing after Him, because then it gets to the point where it doesn't matter, and it just kind of comes out of you because you're chasing Him. But you have to be, intentional.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's awesome. And so this is a place, I believe, that the Lord is bringing us. Not everybody's going to do what Bethany did. Not everybody's going to do what Mike did. But the Lord may have you doing something somewhere, using you just as you are, but Holy Spirit in you, to walk out whatever that assignment is. And my encouragement as we go further into this lesson is throw off the fear. Throw off the fear. What's that going to look like? What's that going to sound like? What are people going to say? What are people going to think? Get that all out of your head. Get that all out of your head. Get that all out of your head. And if you need prayer over that sort of thing, to kind of take that step of obedience into whatever that looks like. And, you know, maybe some of you would say, well, I can't imagine me ever doing any of this kind of stuff. Well, watch out. You never say never. I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing right now. And I did everything I could to say no to that. So the encouragement is that these things that are happening among us are not by accident. Holy Spirit is continually molding and shaping in us. And I've been observing, I had said this 2 weeks ago at our Sunday night prayer service that we have the first of every month, little pitch for that, if you ever want to come. Because it's just an open time of just making our requests known to God and just observe as I watch things unfold. I'm seeing this again, sort of natural flow of God's people using their gifts whenever we're together in sort of natural ways. It's not calling attention to anything. It's just a natural flow. And I believe He's refining us. He's refining us, and that refining starts internally. Starts internally with each one of us to deal with whatever it is we have to deal with, whatever things, situations in our lives that we need to deal with. We need to deal with them because He's not going to let them go. He's not just going to forget about them. His grace is there to help us deal with them if there's, you know, if whatever it is we need to deal with, if it's forgiveness, if it's bitterness, if it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, we need to deal with those things. He will cause us to do, He will prompt us to do that. He will make us do that. He will not force us to do that. But we have to deal with those things. So anyway, He will respond then when we do and just keep pouring out. So one of the things that I observed at that prayer meeting We were just in, we had a little time of worship, and it was just a, you know, kind of free time. And at one point during worship, Ed Stackpole was up here worshiping, and at one point he went over to Bruce Kalina, Scott's dad, who was up here. Now listen to this. He was up here with his walker up front, just worshiping Jesus. People had banners. He was waving an American flag. It was July 4th weekend, I believe. He was waving an American flag, and Ed came over to him and just put his arm around him, started speaking to him. I have no idea what he spoke to him. But it was a moment where the Lord highlighted that to me as a moment of somebody's just being obedient to whatever the Spirit was speaking to him at that moment to speak into this man. No idea. I've never heard anything more about it. I actually acknowledged it that night because it was an observation of what's been stirring, that the Lord is doing things on the spot. Well, you just did, so.
Okay. Anyway, I apologize.
It wasn't Ed that came over to Dad.
Okay.
Dad got Ed's attention to pray.
Okay, gotcha. Right.
Dad felt the need that he needed
to
pray for Ed, and that's what happened is Dad just started to pray.
That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that part of the story. So, but it happened just on the spot. And then the same night, Diana Mullins came up, and because this is a time of, it's a kind of open mic where somebody has something they want to share or something they want to pray, they just do so. And she came up and she said, "I believe we need to pray about being a grateful people, being a grateful people." She used that word gratitude, and so the Holy Spirit spoke to me as she shared that, was like, "Okay, let's do that. Let's just do that right now. Let's just pause for however long it takes, a minute, a second, 10 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know, however long it takes. And just as a group, just verbally express gratitude to our Father for whatever." So, you know, when Holy Spirit is moving, it doesn't always look the same way. It's not always just one thing. It could just be some simple instruction like that to do that. And now Diana has more to say too.
When I went home, I said to the Lord, what could I share? I had no idea. I opened that book. It was God Calling from Sarah Young, and it was all about thankfulness and how that's how you enter His presence with gratitude. You come into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And I just opened to that very place, and it was a couple paragraphs. And I knew I was to share that, and it was just spontaneous, really.
Amen. And so then actually doing that, taking time to do that, because that was the instruction we were given. And I think sometimes we listen to things and we think, "Oh, that's good," but maybe we don't ever do anything with it. We don't ever respond to it. We don't ever put it into practice. And so when the Lord's speaking words to us, He wants us to act upon them. And sometimes we can act upon them in the moment, in the moment. Sometimes it's not the right moment. Sometimes it is the right moment. So it's the idea of being in step with the Spirit is kind of learning when it is and when it isn't, and we're still works in progress. So if it's not the right thing at the right time, then we'll know that.
When I go into Walmart, I found that if I don't pray for obedience, I just go about my way and it becomes an exercise again. And I found that you have to pray for obedience. Yep. It's not a natural thing.
Yep.
And you have to pray for that because obedience is important to the Lord.
Yes.
But if you don't pray for that, your flesh will just go off.
Yes.
That's what mine does.
Yes.
I've had to do that every time I go in there.
Yes. Yeah, and to hear that coming from Diana, you know, who's one of the, you know, operates out of the most pure place I've ever known, but sometimes her flesh still just does what it wants to do, what it wants to do. And so it just becomes an act of the flesh. So one more example, and this was something Gary Sloan shared, and they're not here today, but he had shared in class a few weeks ago, and we all know that Lord uses Gary and Mary Ellen wherever they go, and that's their heart's desire. That's their prayer every morning. Lord, use us. So as we go to this doctor appointment or that doctor appointment or this store, use us. So they happened to be in a restaurant a while back and a few weeks ago, and this elderly gentleman came in. He had a hat on that suggested he was a veteran. And so, yeah, he was an Gary called him an elderly gentleman. And I said, would that be older than you? And it, as it turned out, he was in his 90s. And he knew that he was supposed to go over and speak to him. And so he tells Mary Ellen, I'll be right back, but I have to go see him. And he didn't know him. And he went over and he spoke to him, and they started this conversation. And the guy was not from the area, but he drove specifically into Columbiana because he was looking for somebody in particular. And as he was talking to Gary about this, Gary happened to know the person, people that were connected with the person that he was looking for. And the only Holy Spirit can orchestrate that. That here, out of all these people that he could have run into, he walks into this restaurant where one of God's people is sitting there and hears God's voice to say, you have to go speak to this man. And he is able to give him information to connect with the very person he's looking for. That's the kind of life we're living right now, where Holy Spirit is moving among us in such real, and that was just a practical way Holy Spirit worked to connect this man with somebody he was looking to connect with. And I think sometimes we make it all super, super spiritual. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the spiritual things that are happening, but sometimes it's just some sort of natural thing the Lord wants to unfold, but he's going to use us and spiritual gifts to let that unfold the way he wants it to unfold, and we just need to be obedient. So the key that I'm hearing over and over again is we have to walk in that obedience. That when you get that nudge, and I've said this over and over again this year with this Go and Tell Word, the harvest is ripe. So if you're having this urge to go over to somebody or to speak to somebody, do it, because the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. It's not your job to save the person. It's not your job to make something happen. It's your job, when you have the urge to speak, to do it when you're called to do that. So anyway, we're experiencing this more and more. And my, I guess, encouragement again with that is, To get comfortable with that, and it's something we used to hear over and over and over again from when Connie and I used to minister some in the Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church with some of their team, that Pastor John Sanger used to say all the time, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, sometimes there may be something stirring, and you're like, I don't know, do it anyway, because it's part of stepping into that realm that maybe your natural self doesn't mesh with, but the Spirit in you does. So in John, let's get back to the Word here. John talked about the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and about what was going to happen when he came. In John 15, starting with verse 26, and then we're going to go into chapter 16. When the Advocate comes down, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes out, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whenever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so we have to understand this Holy Spirit that Jesus was sending to us to be our advocate, to be the one who was going to remind us of things, who would be the one that was going to equip us, who would be the one that was going to be the active agent in our life day by day by day, was going to speak truth to us. It was going to be truth. And boy, in this day that we're living, you know, there's untruths. There's untruths. That's why being so grounded in the Word of God is so important. You'll hear us over and over and over again remind you, all of us who are pastors, all people who are teachers, remind you, be grounded in the Word. Be grounded in the Word. Because when you think you've heard something, it will always line up with Scripture. It's not going to be something that goes against Scripture for sure, but it will line up with Scripture. So being grounded in that Word, and again, being grounded in that Word is just another act of humility. It's another act of being bowed down to say, boy, I need answers, and I need to know your truth. I need to know your Word. I need to know what you have to say about this matter. And so making that commitment to to study the Word, to read the Word, to let our eyes see the Word, to let our ears hear the Word is so, so important in this keeping in step with the Spirit, because it won't take very long if we're not grounded in the Word for somebody to hear something that has no basis in Scripture at all, and they begin acting on that, and that's disastrous, and it's dangerous. So it's really, really important for that grounding. So yeah, he'll speak the truth. He will speak the truth. He doesn't speak of his own authority. And so when we're, you know, when we're operating in this sort of on the moment, on the spot obedience, there's an authority with that. That, and again, it's not an authority that has to pound its chest or say, "Oh, this is authoritative." No, it's just speaking it because he gave it to you. And you could have the Bethany has a very quiet voice, but she, when she prays and she's now worshiping, she's worshiping and praying with an authority because it came from the Father. It came from the Father. So examples in Scripture. That's all right. We'll clean it up later. Hey, I got some certificates up here from baptism. If you were baptized and you want a certificate, it's right here on the floor. Yeah. So in Acts 13, 2 and 3, while they were worshiping, we see this all the time around here. While we're worshiping, Holy Spirit's moving and doing something. We see it. We saw it today. We saw it last week. We see it a lot. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Don't forget about that part of the equation. It was a big word to us a couple of years ago that's still very active among us. As people engage in setting aside time specifically to fast, to let Holy Spirit just do something deeper, take me deeper. While they were doing that, Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So it's interesting, you know, I think about this as I'm reading this passage, you know, this word we've had this year, go and tell, we've put that into practice in very specific ways this year, where we have laid hands on people and sent them off because they were called to go and tell in a different location. And we will always, always, always do that. A few weeks, we're going to be praying for Trevor. Trevor, raise your hand. If you don't know Trevor Kaler. Trevor Kaler is going in a few weeks to join the service, and we're going to go send him off. We're going to lay hands on him. And speak over him God's blessing. We did that last week with Davey Muir. We did that with Tanner and Anastasia. It's funny because Tanner and Anastasia have been here probably pretty much almost as much as they were always here. They've just been back for family things, but they're in Columbus now. We did that with Freeman and Betty Erb. And so Holy Spirit has orchestrated each one of these situations, and we're living that out. We're living that out. If people are being called to go do something, we want to pray blessing on that. We want to pray God's anointing on that. And we send them off. Last week, we sent off Bethany and Bobby to Washington, D.C. for a week of ministry. And I asked Bobby today, "Do you want to share?" And he said, I can't speak. Although he did during worship. But you know, we're going to hear more. We're going to hear more about what that experience was like, and because the Lord is using His people, and that's my point with all of this. None of you is left out of that equation. Every one of you has something to say about the goodness of our God if you know Him. And I know most of the people in the room, I believe, you know Jesus, and if you know Jesus and have a relationship with Him, you have something to say. You have a message. Acts 16, 6 and 7, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So this is really, really important for us to understand. There's also a time, don't do it. How do you know when? How do you don't know when? Stay this close to Jesus. Stay this close to Jesus. And I'm not saying we'll ever do that all perfectly. The awesome thing is when we do it imperfectly, there's so much grace. And so don't let your fear of doing the wrong thing, the right thing at the wrong time, keep you from at least stepping out, because grace and the love of Jesus will cover it. Now, I'm not saying be lax or be undisciplined. I'm not giving anybody a license to do that. But at the same time, don't fear failure. Don't fear making a mistake. What if I trip over my words? So you trip over your words. So Holy Spirit kept them from speaking. Now, you know, we're talking about some people who are really hungry to share. Really hungry to share and live that out. But there was an instance where nope, not here. Not here. Acts 20, 20, 22, 23. Now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. That's scary. I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit to go somewhere. I have no idea what's going to happen to me, but I'm going to do it because I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Well, that alone would say, nah. I'd rather not. Get Bobby. Here's another section of scripture I encourage you to study this week. Because keeping step with the Spirit has everything to do with these words. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. So let's just pause there for a minute. What's your flesh focus on? What's your flesh want? Where's your mind? Does your mind stay in that place of the flesh? Is it focused on things of the flesh? Flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. Those who live that way have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So these things that are happening among us, I believe, are happening because more and more and more of God's people are hungry for things of the Spirit. Hungry for things of the Spirit. And the Lord's responding to that. And that becomes infectious. That becomes infectious when people maybe who are observing or watching say, man, I wish I could function like that. I wish I could live like that. Well, you can. You can. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, that's us in this room. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. Thank you, Ashley. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, maybe it's worth pausing to say, Holy Spirit, do you live in me? Do you live in me? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Think about that for a second. The Spirit of who raised Jesus from the dead, that's a powerful person, is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. It is not to the flesh. It is not to the flesh. We have an obligation to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. The only fear is a reverence. It's a reverence of Almighty God. There's a degree of trepidation with that. But it's not a fear that holds us back. If anything, it's a fear that keeps us in check, in submission, in submission. Rather, the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship. You belong. You belong. You belong to a heavenly kingdom, not an earthly one. Yes, we live on this earth. Yes, we function on this earth, but we function in a whole different manner, a whole different way. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his, sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. So we're keeping step with the Spirit. We have to understand that there may be a time of suffering. There may be a time where we go through a struggle. There may be a time when we don't know what all's going on, but we're being refined. We're being refined in that place. The only way the refinement happens is if we submit to the refining. I know everything about us wants to run and hide when there's a refining going on, when there's something painful going on. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay plugged in and stay bowed down and stay in submission. Say, Lord, I don't know what all you're doing in this difficulty, but I trust you. I trust you. That's active faith. That's active faith. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. That hasn't happened yet. As long as we're here, we're on assignment. We're on assignment. We're living on assignment. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently in the same way. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Spirit helps us in our weakness. Keeping in step with His Spirit, if you have a weak moment or you're going through a time of weakness, you have Holy Spirit to help you. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The question becomes, where are you in all of this? Where are you in all this? If I picture every person in this body just hungering and thirsting, and I can't even fathom how Holy Spirit will respond if, I don't know, 150 of us in this room right now, if 150 of us just said, Lord, I'm throwing myself at your feet. I'm throwing yourself at your feet. I want to live in step with your Spirit every moment of every day, but I still battle flesh. Flesh still gets the best of me. Doubt still raises up. Anger still raises up. Sinful thoughts still raise up. You're not alone. That's true for everybody. It's why surrender is so important. It's why surrender is so important. And why this is so important is because we're called to be a witness in the world. We're called to be a voice in this world. And the Lord is not letting us off the hook with that. He is not He's not letting us off the hook. He is calling us and challenging us over and over and over again to be more submitted, to be more bowed down, to be more pressed in, to be more intentional, more intentional. It's not an accident, and this is for men, but it's not an accident that Pastor Shane has opened up his home again on Saturday mornings for us to gather at 6:30 at his house. We're there for about an hour and a half. Saturday morning. Just pressing into Jesus, ministering to one another. It's not an accident that that's happening, because he's calling us. He's calling us as a people. And I understand everybody can't do everything. But my question is, what is it that he's calling you to? What is it that he wants you to do? What is it he want, what is it requiring of you to take you to whatever next step he has? There's times when I think, man, what else do you want? But then there's always more. There's always more. There's always some other refinement that he wants to do in us. Just ask yourself in this moment of just quiet, am I bowed down? Does that describe my life? Am I bowed down? And if the answer is no, that's not a, again, not a point of condemnation, not a point of guilt. If the answer is no, ask yourself why. Why won't I bow down? What's preventing me? What's holding me back from submission? Because to keep in step with the Spirit, it starts at that place of, I'm bowed down to you, Jesus. You died for my sins. You died for my sins. And then you rose again, and that same power that rose you from the among the dead is available to me to live in a whole different way. Let's pray. Lord, that's my prayer right now. That's my prayer right now for this people. Because I know you have purposes and plans for us as a body. That what you're doing in us as individuals is not separate from what you're doing at us as a body. And you are asking more of us, because you've blessed us with so much. And you say, if I've given you much, then much is going to be required of you. And I know that as Abundant Life Fellowship, much is required of us, because you've given us so much. And so, Lord, I thank you that we have a hungry people. There is a hunger and a thirst. We are desperate for you. Lord, I pray as we go into a period of worship that you will just bring us to our knees, bring us to a place of just submission to you, whether it's just in holy reverence or whether there's repentance going on or whether there's just ministry from you to us going on, whatever that looks like, we don't need to know those details. This is you doing your work. But I pray this week that we will keep in your spirit, keep in step with your spirit like never before, even when we don't even know exactly what that's going to mean on any given day. You're the one that will produce the fruit out of it. You will, you're the one that will bring in the harvest. We're just these intermediary vessels that have a voice and have you living inside of us to spill out wherever we go. So as we go into this time of closing out this gathering together, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will lead every step of it. That if people have assignments that they already know have been laid on their hearts to speak something to somebody, that they will just do so quietly or privately or whatever that's supposed to look like. Whatever you accomplish through all this, all praise goes to you. All glory to you. Because you're the only one who's worthy. There'll be people around to pray for you if you need that.
This is a lot for me to do, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord's told me about seeking Him. Heidi Baker said the Lord is calling His church to holy self-surrender, holy surrender. So I asked the Lord, well, what is that? And He said, that's your flesh, your self-life. How do you do that? And He said, you pray to Lord, enlarge my heart to love you more than I love myself. And it's pursuing Jesus, pursuing Him in your private time, maybe just singing a song to Him through the day, but you pursue Jesus because He's the only one that can do that for you. But it's pursuing Him and pray to enlarge your heart to love Him more than we love ourselves. Amen. That's how you do holy surrender. Amen. So I felt I had to share that.
Thank you. Let's stand.